Welcome, welcome. Praise the Lord. Good to have each one of you here today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah, make sure you shake hands with somebody and hug them or whatever. Praise the Lord. Cheryl's got some testimonies, I think.
I do. This was written to Pastor Dave. Thank God for you and the others helping me get in my car. This was last Sunday. And everyone's attitude. I will tell you, I searched all my pockets many times. I retraced my steps many times and even looked under the car. But in 2 years, I never, ever in any way used my pants, but I even shook them, and I did not hear or even feel keys in my pants. I was going to go to Kim, think that is her name, and it is Kim. But she and her hubby were talking to someone, and when she said pockets, I really was baffled. And for some reason, I looked in the pants pocket. I felt silly, but besides God laughing, I learned a lot. Relax. I know He always comes through. We need to work as a team. I know I do not hear Him as I should. Nobody made me feel stupid either. They only wanted to help. P.S. I don't know what else to say, but thank you.
Amen.
All involved with helping me find my keys, thank God. He showed us where the keys were. Bless you for not making me feel stupid. Working as a wonderful team, truly Jesus was magnified in all ways. God bless each one of you. You can read this in front of the congregation if you want. And I have never seen people come together and willingly attempt to help another person, especially at church. I thought that was kind of sad. Still meditating on the events, the goodness of God was clearly and joyfully shown. And she wrote, I declare I am a receiver of God's goodness at any time, day or night, awake or asleep, are in my condition in Jesus' mighty name, in Jesus of Nazareth's mighty name. Amen. I saw the goodness of God's goodness on November 12th at the Living Savior Ministries concerning my car keys.
Hallelujah.
We're not through. We're close. People say or pray, Jesus, break every chain. We talked about chain breakers today. My thinking is He is willing and able to do this, but doesn't an individual have to ask? I'm not arguing or trying to put you on the spot. I'm asking for scripture. I'm wanting to learn, as you know. I hear, so if you want to leave a voice mail, that will be fine. Okay, this is for Deborah. So Deborah, we're glad. Yeah, Kim and I walked outside and the Lord told me pocket. He told her pocket. We said, look in your pocket. She said, they're not my pocket. I said, look in your pants pocket. Lo and behold, praise the Lord. He spoke. Yes, wave your hand, Deborah. That's Deborah. She got her keys last week. Praise the Lord. Okay, this is from Newcastle, Australia. I have to go backwards first. Okay. Blessings, Pastor Thurman, Cheryl, and prayer team. I thank you for all that you do, and I pray that the Lord blesses and keep you in His light. I'm emailing from Newcastle, Australia, and I want to ask you, Pastor Thurman, for a prayer of agreement, also an enlightening. I am a recent 3 years born-again Spirit-filled Christian. I own a hair salon in Newcastle, and I've owned it now for 11 years. About 12 months ago, I put my salon on the market to sell. The few reasons being is that the salon is not making enough money to keep the doors open, and my husband has to carry the burden of paying some of the expense. Also, I'm having to work very long days, most nights till 9 p.m., to be able to pay some of my expenses, which then means my husband is having to take on the role of me to our two young daughters. It breaks my heart that I'm not home with my family and that the head of my home, husband, is doing more than he should. My husband and family pray every night that the Lord brings us a buyer for the business, and we stand on John 14:13-14. We are obviously doing something wrong for Jesus not to be hearing us. I wonder. We repent and remit each other's sins every day. We are in our word, we call the Lord to remembrance of His word, but yet we have not been answered. Pastor Thurman, you are one of the strongest men of God I know, and every night when I go to bed, I listen to your teaching through my earphones. Please help us and ask God to tell me where we are going wrong, because God's word never returns void. Praise the Lord. Sincerely, Katarina. Answer. Keep praying and believing that the salon will sell it, and at the proper time, God will sell it. We have prayed, and it is done. Praise the Lord, Pastor Thurman. She wrote back, praise report. God is... Okay, let's see how much was the time. Okay, we wrote Okay, she wrote the original letter of this year, May 29th. We answered June 1st, and then this is November 14th, from June 1st to November 14th. She said, praise report. God is great. I want to let you all know that on the 1st of November, my business was sold. God is a God outside of time, and you know he sees the beginning, middle, and the end. After many, many months of prayer to bring a buyer in and being so tired and financially worried, God brings me an investor and offers me much more than the business is worth. And better yet, he has done this at the right time. To my surprise, I found out a few days after the offer was made that I was pregnant with my husband's third baby. I've always wanted to stay at home and raise my kids, but unfortunately I ran a business and I always was working. Thank you for you, Pastor, and the amazing prayer warriors for standing in agreement with me, Matthew 18:19, and praise the King for all that it is. Thank you to you all. God bless and shalom, Katerina.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Okay, this is from the White House.
Oh, okay, wow. Okay, mm-hmm. Wow, praise God.
Okay, Carrie sent this Psalm 91 prayer card that we have up here on the front row that anybody, if you want to come get one, she sent it to her friend. They're right up here, Psalm 91. We've been passing those out to the military, to the first responders, fire, police, ambulance, who are EMTs. Anyway, her friend, Rebecca Cunningham, in Troop, Texas, sent one to Melania Trump. And she wrote back, Dear Miss Cunningham, thank you for your heartfelt prayers. It is an honor and a privilege to serve as First Lady. I am encouraged to know that many Americans are praying for me and my family. It gives us strength and comfort. May God bless you and your family. Sincerely, Melania Trump.
Amen.
We need to make a copy and frame this. Yeah, really. Okay.
Praise the Lord.
All right. It is praise the Lord, isn't
Amen.
It? I've been praising the Lord all week. I have to tell you all the things that have been happening to me. As you can see, it's Christmas. It's Christmas around here. It is Christmas. If you walked into our library, you can't walk into the library. I mean, it's out of the world in there. Anyway, so far with the money, the gifts, and the gift cards, so far we have $75,446.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. We've given Christmas to 4,494 children and 199 families so far. So God is really moving and grooving. Okay, so I go to, and these little yellow sheets tell you how we got started doing this. This is our 16th annual Christ Haven for Children Christmas benefit. And so last Friday, my daughter Christy happened to be in town. She's in Fort Myers, Florida right now with her husband, who's an independent insurance adjuster working all the hurricanes. So anyway, she came back for just a little bit. So Friday, we just did this slam dunk of buying so much that you wouldn't believe it. And then she had to leave on Sunday. And so, okay, on Monday, I have a car full of remote control cars, a whole bunch of them. And before we left the store Friday, I said to them, because as I went to the hall and saw the prices, I would go, okay, I want all of those and all of those and all of those. And so they come behind me with a little cart, and the guy's getting them, and he takes them to the front, and they start ringing them up, and they suspend them because they know what I do. I've been doing this 10 years at Kohl's. I saw that last night. I have a charge card for 10 years. Anyway, so Monday, Thurman and John Rosenfeld and myself, we drive over to Justin Community Clothes Closet because they require 350 toys. And I found out from Dallas Children's Charity, who gave us 642 toys last year, so we got to give them what they needed last year, that I wasn't going to get that much. So they told me maybe 200. So I've had to, you know, buy some. And so we go over there, and John, because I didn't look, there were three different types of cars, and each car required different kinds of batteries, a 9-volt, double A's, triple A's, whatever, and 4 and 6 and all this. So I had John marking, and then, of course, Dave and Ayesha drove up on a motorcycle, and so they got out, and everybody's helping go take the remote control cars into the place. And then we had them up, and I had a ticket for 57 cars, remote control cars, and there was 115. So guess what? I didn't pay for 58 of them. So at 5 in the morning, I wrote Jana, the manager over at South Lake, and I say, Kohl's, and I say, Jana, somehow I didn't pay for these. And we did ask the manager and the cashier, those are all rung up? And they said yes, but I said they weren't rung up because I don't have a receipt for them. And so I said, so sorry, I will go by Justin and I'll pick up the two, that because they were like the tumbler I'd paid for. The spin 360 and the flip stunt thing I did not pay for. So I went by, got one of each. I told them when I'd be there, and I show up, and they ring up however many I tell them. I mean, it's a very trustworthy thing. It's like, oh, you 32 and oh, you 24, or whatever it was, 34 and 24, I think it was. So, and they were more expensive. So that was all done. That was good. So that was the first, you know, Lord's going, he's given us grace, you know, nothing defiled goes to heaven, and no thief has eternal life. So I was making sure my slate was clean. I'm going the right way. I was like, oh, God, I got to go take those back. I got to go ring those up. Anyway, so then I got a text from Sergeant Ruby at Salvation Army in Denton, and she tells me everything she wants. And so I said, well, do you also want some remote control cars and backpacks and these other things? Oh, and she told me she wanted slides, the little slides that kids wear, sports shoes. So on Thursday, I still had one more day of 30% off at Kohl's, and you get Kohl's cash. Well, we had four new girls. We lost one girl who left the system, and four new girls came in, four teenagers, 11, 12, 13, and 15. So I decided we do have the Lady Grapevine High School, Lady Mustangs basketball team are helping me buy things for them, but they're not buying everything. They're picking. In fact, they had a tournament this weekend, so they were picking things out and saying, okay, I'm going to get this. And so the ladies coordinated it with me. So I just knew I needed to go get some things. So I did. One of the things on the list was Jan Sports backpack. Those cost $48 to $60, and they were on sale. So I got three, but I needed a fourth one. So I go up to the front. I say, hey, I need a fourth backpack, and I don't see any out there. And she goes, oh, we have a whole bin in the back, of the, you know, in the warehouse. I said, really? And then when she rang it up, I was like, whoa. I said, bring me 20 out, because those are really inexpensive. And so she did. I got the 20, and I was like, wow. And it was almost time to get out of there, and I said, well, how many do you have back there? And the lady said, oh, 50, 60, maybe 70. And I said, well, can I get them all? And I said, but I knew it was time to go, so I couldn't mess with them. I said, okay, can I come back tomorrow, and you give me the same deal, the 30% off? So the manager, she talks to me, and she says, sure, you can have it. I said, okay. She says, call the other manager, the day manager. So at 8:30 the next morning, I call her, and I say, okay. You're going to do the same deal? She says, yes. I said, how many do you think there are? She said, oh, 70 or 80. You just wait. Nobody is very good at estimates anymore. So we go over there. So I take my husband with me. You went with me. Yes. My husband who never shops.
Amen.
And so we go. That's right. And we go there, and they have this big bin. I'd say, was it like 4x6?
Yeah,
on wheels. Right. You know, on the big wheels.
Yeah,
a bin.
We're
talking a bin that just is dragging you everywhere. Full to the top. 149. Backpack. But they average $7. I was like, oh, well, I've got to have those. And there was also two Nike bags that were like $65, $70 a piece. And they were $14, but that was still okay. So we get that, we load that, we go out, and we load that up. And I come back in, I said, well, you know, I need, the manager taught me, if you have Kohl's cash, and I had $1,340 of Kohl's cash. And she said, you should always buy things where they don't give you discounts, which is like Nike and Under Armour, Adidas. So I said, okay. I said, I know this is the first day of the Kohl's cash redemption. I said, and it didn't look all that busy, but I said, do you have enough staff if I wanted to go buy a bunch of Nike slides? You know, could I go do that? And they told me, sure. We go buy every Nike slide. Wasn't it fun, honey?
Oh, yeah. Sure, it was fun.
There were 81 Nike slides that they don't have anymore in Kohl's. Anyway, we bought every single one of it, and with my Kohl's cash and the $365 I had to pay, each set of Nike slides cost $4.50.
Hallelujah.
Wow. And they normally were, well, they were on sale for $20 and $25, but normally they were $25 to $30. So, I mean, gosh, that was a great deal. So we loaded all that up. And then Kim, she had an Atwood Ranch store over close to where she is in Weatherford. They recently opened. They'd given us a deal at the beginning of the season on $10 jeans that were very nice jeans. Well, we talked about we needed fleece pants also for Salvation Army, because not only do they do 3,000 children, 750 families, but they also do 8 nursing homes. So if they don't, if those fleece pants don't go, they go to the nursing home. So we're helping a lot of people. So she got 100 fleece pants for me for $5 a piece, and they were $30 fleece pants. Yeah. They were very, very nice. I wore mine yesterday with my Nike flip-flop. It's just been such a blessing. But God, you know, I just was praising Him last night, because every time I turn around, He's opening a door. He's making just the heavens fall open, and somebody give me this or give me that. My daughter Christy, she took us out to dinner last night. I think it's the first time in the history of our life together. But anyway, I'm teasing. But she normally, we take her out to dinner. Well, but they're doing really well, so she bought our dinner last night, and she ended up last night, I got her credit card to pay all the $4,800 worth of Six Flags tickets. So God's just been, He's just been opening the heavenlies, and I praise Him so much that He continues to help. So if you would like to help, and that's what I need is money. If you want to continue with this thing with us, if you on your donation or your check or whatever, just put Children or Christmas, so I know it can go for that. Otherwise, it doesn't go there; it goes just to the regular fund. And we praise you, and we praise you that Lord, because you do so much. You just help us so much, and I'm so grateful to it. I want to tell you about Paula Sue. Raise your hand. Did you bring cakes today? Oh, they are so good. If you haven't had Paula Sue's, I'd like to have a strawberry one next week or the week ever, whenever. Okay, so she's got one cake left. You just give her however much you want to pay for it in an envelope and write cakes on it, Christmas or something. And then Dee, wave your hand. She's also, Dee's made embroidered tea towels. There's 3 sets in here on the end of the table with an envelope. And if you'd like a tea towel set, there's two in a set, right? Two in a set. Oh, you sold one, so there's 2 sets left. Okay, so anyway, you just write, you know, the tea towels, Christmas, whatever, and drop it in the box also. And then you're going to make banana pudding. If you haven't eaten Grace Moore's banana pudding, it will make you fat. No, you have to pray over it. You say, take all the calories out, please. No, I've done, it was so funny. Last year, she was trying them out before she started bringing them, and friends or dad came in. He said, I've gained 10 pounds. Testing all her banana puddings. But the friends are dead. No, but they are fabulous. So I'm just telling you, she's going to be. So if you want to tell her you want one, a banana pudding for next week. Okay, December 3rd. That's only 2 more. Is it 2 more? I think it's only 2 more. Phew, time is flying by. Okay, December 3rd, we have our 10th annual building and potluck dinner, building anniversary. The first time we had it, we had a wall there, didn't we? Have a wall? That was wide open up there. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we were closed in, but it was spacious, I guess you would say. But it's our 10th anniversary for having built the building. And also, like I say, we're going to have a potluck, so bring your favorite dinner. And right after the service, we'll all be eating. So that's December 3rd. Okay, December. And also, that morning, we have to go pick up toys in downtown Dallas before we even get back. Monday the 11th is our Christ Haven for Children Christmas benefit. All the kids will be there. The Lady Mustangs basketball team from Grapevine will be there. Anybody that wants to come, you're welcome to come. We have dinner with the kids. We leave here about, they come here at 2:30. We load up. We go over there, get there about 3:30, and then we put everything out. At 5 o'clock, they get there. So between 5 and 7, they get there. We feed them. We present all the honor stuff, and then we pass out all the gifts, and it's chaos, and it's great. And it just really makes you feel good. If you've never been there, you should come. Makes your heart feel really, really good. And happy Thanksgiving this week. And happy birthday to me.
Yeah.
Thanks. Thanksgiving Day, I will be 70. And I had the lady in the bathroom last night when Christine and I went in there. She said, I thought y'all were sisters. She said, you look like you're 50. No, you're in your late 40s. I said, oh, thank you, darling. Anyway, God bless. Thank you for everything.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now then, before we start, I think we've got a couple of testimonies. Who is it that had a testimony that was going to, they told me?
Mike over there.
Mike, you're the one who told me. Okay, come up here. Give him a mic. And I knew somebody told me they had a testimony. Said if we got time, we always got time for testimonies. I'd love to hear what Jesus is doing, Mike.
Praise the Lord. Last healing school, we had a young man, Ted brought him. His name is Calvin. and he had cancer, and he was in bed, no immune system. His white blood count was nothing. He had an adverse reaction to some medicine they gave him. His lymph nodes were all swelled up. They took a scan of his body. He was pretty covered with it. And they did surgery, and they did a little chemo, but he wasn't going to be healed by staying in the hospital. Ted went and ministered to him in the hospital, and they brought four people to Christ in his hospital room. I mean, he went through this with a really, really excellent attitude. He loved Jesus through the whole thing. He's a real super enthusiastic guy, and he just never lost hope. And he came in, he found his sin, he repented. You know, we all know there's a little bitterness in cancer, and he got to the root of that thing and kicked it out. Amen. Got right with everybody, and even people he didn't even know. He was leading to Jesus and telling them about the love of Jesus. And he came in here in total faith. He didn't wear a mask. His immune system was toast. I mean, and this young man just walked in here knowing that Jesus was going to show up. Amen. And that all we had to do is agree as to who he was in Jesus. And that his name was not that disease. And that it was already done. And so Ted and Gracie and I and Calvin, we stood in agreement. We rebuked that thing. We called on the fire of the Holy Spirit to burn everything out in the name of Jesus. Just consume it. And for him to become who he knew he was. And that corruption and corrosion was not part of his body. He's got a little Facebook post that we've got an audio of that will testify to his healing and his excitement. And Richard's got it right now.
Okay.
What's up, Facebook family and friends? Kelly and I left the doctor's office, and I've got to give you guys an update. All I want to know is, what's his name? What's his name? His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. So all I can say is his name is Jesus. So we left the doctor's office. The doctor said that, sir, we cannot deny the data that we have. The CT scan that you took while you were in the hospital revealed that your lymph nodes are normal size. The cancer markers are showing not to be in your blood, that you are cancer free. We'll see you in 3 months. Jesus is a healer. Jesus is alive. Thank you. Thank you. Jesus is real. I thank you guys for everything, your prayers and everything. I don't have to do chemo anymore. Doctor said they'll see me in 3 months. Facebook, I love y'all. Talk to you later. Jesus is alive and he's a healer.
Wow. Yes, Jesus is alive. He is definitely alive. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. If we would only get a hold of who he is, that's the secret. God in his infinite grace and mercy. You know, we all need to learn to hear from God. Just like this last week when Cheryl and Kim were at, both of them asked the Lord. They hear from the Lord real regular. And whenever they said, Lord, we need to know where these keys are. Well, he spoke to both of them and told them pockets. Now, whenever Kim comes in and says pockets and Cheryl comes in and says pockets, you better start checking pockets. But anyway, they had already checked the pockets. They checked everything they thought, but they hadn't. Not good enough. That's amazing how God does things. Of course, you know, I'm going to tell you something, the way God works. He could have done this to prove a point to people, and they could have looked in those pockets, and there's no keys. Because this one friend of mine, several years ago, whenever he started, Cheryl and I hadn't been married very long. We went to New York to speak at a campground. And this man and his wife and his daughters and his mother-in-law all came to the meeting. I didn't know them, didn't know anybody. But they came and they sat down over here, and the woman, the older woman, came in with a cane. And so we had only been teaching 30 minutes, and all of a sudden, the Lord, I mean, this God that's alive and well that speaks, just as clear as that. Here I'm standing up here talking about the Word of God, teaching these people about the kingdom, and he butts right into the service. Now, can you imagine a God that would do that to you? And this is what he said, "Son, you see the lady over there with the cane?" I said, I stopped talking, and I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Go over there and lay your hands on her. I want to heal her." I said, "Folks, this don't happen to me very often, but the Lord just spoke to me." And I said, "This lady that's over here with a cane, he just spoke to me and told me to go lay hands on her, and he wants to heal her." So I said, "Okay." I said, "Thank you, Lord." I laid hands on her. Now, he said, "That's all I can do." So I went back and I stood there a few minutes and nothing's happening. And so she didn't do anything or nothing. So I'm standing there waiting, "Well, God, are you going to do it or not?" You know, and so, I mean, here you're making me look like a fool, see? And so I sat there for a few minutes and nothing. So I said, "Well, okay, so let me get my Bible and let's go back to teaching." So I picked her up right where I left off and nothing happened. We taught about 3 hours. That woman just listened. And then we all got up and left and took a break and for an hour, and the people went out and had a little bite to eat and so forth. And then we came back. We were going to teach 2 more hours. So we came back in, and whenever that man and his mother-in-law and his wife and all that come in, she walked in with no support. And she walked right up to me just like this. She says, "Pastor, the Lord healed me. I'm totally healed." So anyway, this man, this father, and this father, he started listening. He said, "I want to get a copy of everything you make." You know, I mean, that has a tendency to work on people. You know, whenever you hear a voice from God and then you do what it says and he does something supernatural, like heal that person. Of course, now then, you know, the 15 years later, I've seen him do so many of those kind of things that I just don't worry about it. If he says, "Go lay hands on somebody," I just go lay hands on him and go back to teaching. I know that he may do it all right then. He may do it 5 minutes now. He may not do it till tomorrow. But he's going to do it, you know. So all you got to do is believe. So anyway, this guy is trying to learn all this stuff. And so he's really, really listening to our stuff. One day he called me and said, "Pastor, I've been trying my best to get my daughters to believe that God talks to us." And he said, "They just won't believe it." He said, "In fact, all these supernatural CDs and DVDs you're sending to us, they listen to one once in a while, but said they really don't believe." And I said, "Well, let me pray and ask the Lord to do something so that they will believe." So we prayed a prayer. In other words, if you want God to do something, how do you get it done? Pray. That's exactly right. You ask. You ask in faith, no doubt in your heart. So anyway, I asked the Lord to do something with those girls so that, you know, let something happen so that they would see that God done this and that he really is real and that he does talk to his people and he does hear your prayer. As we go through time, a few weeks goes by, and one day one of his daughters calls his dad and says, "Dad, I need you to come over and help me find the keys to the car. I've lost the keys." And he said, "Well, have you prayed about it?" And she said, "Well, no, Daddy, I didn't pray about it. I just want to find the keys." Is that the way most of us are? We just want an answer, but we don't ask the one and only one who knows everything. He knows where every key is at, and he knows everything. I mean, just like this key on this lady back here. When she looked in her pockets and everything, God might have said, "I'm not going to put the keys in her pocket till I'm ready. I want her to look at everything, check everything, feel everything. I want her to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that there is no keys, and then at the right time, I'm going to reveal those keys to her. I'm going to show her that I am God." And so this girl, when she called and her daddy said, "Let's pray about this." She said, "Daddy, I'm not interested in praying. I just want to find the key. Come help me." So he said, "Well, if you're not going to pray, then I'm going to pray. So just hang on a second." He says, "Father, in Jesus' name, you see how unbelieving my daughter is." But he said, "Father, I believe you. I believe when I ask you to show me where the keys are to her car, that you will show me so I can show my daughter that you're a God that answers prayer. Now, Lord, thank you in Jesus' name for showing me where the keys are." Bam, just like they said, oh, honey. As soon as I said, thank you, Jesus, I saw those keys laying on the porch, out at that swing, out on the front porch. She said, Daddy, we have not even been outside. The kids have not been outside. It would be impossible for the keys to be in the swing on the front porch. He said, well, honey, why don't you go out there and look? No, Daddy, I'm not even going to walk out there because I know they're not there because we've not been outside. This is the craziest thing I've ever heard. He said, honey, you got a little portable phone in your hand. It'll take nothing. Just walk out there and look in the swing. Just walk outside and look. Daddy, I know they're not there, but just to keep you, satisfy you, I will walk out there and see. And I'm going to tell you, I know they're not Daddy. They're laying on the seat. He said, see, I told you. I prayed and asked God, and he showed me. She said, I don't believe God showed you where those were. He said, well, how in the world did you think I found those? How did you think, how else would I know where they were? You didn't know where they were. But I asked God, and he showed me a little vision, and sure enough, there they were. But, you know, it's amazing the people that won't believe. In fact, I'll tell you something that happened just not too long ago, and it, right here, within a few feet of where you and I are sitting, Ben, a young boy that works for me, he was putting up some gates, and he come in and he said, Pastor, those hinges that we bought to go on those gates down at the barn for the horses, he said, we had some of those left over. Do you know where we put those? I said, well, I thought we'd put them in that trailer down there by the barn. He said, well, I'm going to run down there and look again. He said, I thought I looked in there, but he ran down there, and he was gone just a few minutes, and he said, I've looked everywhere down there, and they're not there. Now then, how do you find something?
Pray.
Talk to God. So I'm sitting there at my office desk right in there, and Ben's standing there against the office the desk on the other side. And I just said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for showing me where those hinges are. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, it's done. And I started to tell Ben something else, and I saw just a mini TV scan. It's amazing how God can do that. A picture just went by, and I saw the end of my barn right out there with the two tractors, one on each side, and an aluminum three-tier cart sitting in the middle between the tractors, and right on that center shift, well, he zoomed in, and there's those hinges. I saw all that in a flash. I said, oh, Ben, the Lord just showed me a vision. I said, those hinges are out there between the two tractors on that aluminum three-tier cart on the center shelf. They're laying right there on that aluminum cart. He said, it won't take me but a couple of minutes to run out there and see, Pastor. So he runs out there and comes back, and he says, that's exactly where they were. Now then, when you ask God for things, he is a God that wants to help you in everything you do. But you've got to be tuned in to him. That's like when I was in Houston here a while back, a young man that I know was working on something there, and he was looking for a piece of equipment. And he come up there and he told me, tell me something. And whenever we got through, he said, well, I got to have this certain piece of equipment to do this. He said, I'll run down to the shop and get it. I got one. I'll be back in just a few minutes. Well, he ran down there and he was gone and he was gone and he was gone. 30 minutes went by and he come walking back up and he said, Thurman, I can't find that thing. I know I've got it, but I can't find it. His name's Mark, and Mark is a good little Christian boy. He goes to church every Sunday with his wife and his couple of children. Just a young sweetheart, young man, really a nice boy. I said, Mark, did you pray about that before you went down there? I did not. Why did we do this? Why don't we do what God says? God says, pray about
everything.
With
thanksgiving.
So why don't we do that? You know, I'm going to challenge each one of you in here today. If you really want to see God do something fantastic, that's what you need to do. You need to learn to ask God to help you. And so anyway, this young man, he stood right there and says, Father, I'm sorry, forgive me for not asking. But now, Lord, I need you to show me where that part's at. And he told him what he was looking for. He said, I need this part So he said, thank you, it's done in Jesus' name. I said, now go out there. And I said, Mark, let me give you a little bit of further instructions. I said, I don't know how he'll do this, but I said, when you walk into the shop door, stop, open the door and walk in. And when you walk in, say, thank you, Lord. I said, start over here on the side, right against the wall, and start looking, going across to look. And I said, start saying, thank you, Lord, for showing me where that tool is. And I said, whenever you get a check in your spirit, go look. That's where it'll be. And he said, okay. So he ran off down there. Just in a few minutes, it couldn't have been 3 to 5 minutes, he was back with that thing in his hand. I said, what happened? He said, I did exactly what you said. And said, when I started going around saying, Lord, thank you for showing me where it's at. He said, I got right over here and all of a sudden I felt something. And I thought, I bet it's right there. And said, I went right over there and opened the door on that cabinet and looked, and there it lay. But he said, the strange thing about it is, I looked in that a while ago when I was looking for 30 minutes and I didn't find it. You see what I mean? But we hadn't asked God to help us find it. Once we asked the Lord to help us find it, then it might not have been there before, but now it is there. He's able to do that. And that's what I'm saying. That's why that the lady in the deal with the car and the keys, did you notice the thing that she kept saying in there? But I've looked there. I've looked under the car. I've looked everywhere. Cheryl and Kim, pockets, y'all may be saying pockets, but it's not there. It's not. I've looked everywhere, and I felt in my pockets. I've went down to the bottom. I mean, I go down in here all the way down. There ain't no keys in there. You know, you go plumb to the... I have looked, girls, at pockets. There is no... Then finally, after they prayed and said, well, the Lord told both of us pockets, why don't you do one more search and see what happens? And she felt down in there or something, and guess what?
They were there.
There they were. It was in her pants pocket, so... See, don't ever give up. You know, when you ask God for something, I want us to go to, first of all, what I want us to do, I want Cheryl to read, just read right on through the whole thing, Psalm 91, all 16 verses, and the King James or whatever, I don't care, honey, that little card's okay. In other words, I want you to listen to this. Every one of us needs to read this every day. You need to read it. So Cheryl's going to read this little Psalm 91.
He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence, the black plague. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation.
That is a promise from the God, the Most High God, for you. It will, in other words, when I stop and think about some of the things that are happening around the country, and all of you, I'm sure, have noticed the shootings, the killings, all the different things that's happened. I think about what happened to John Hagee, and if everybody, I'm sure, that's ever watched Christian television has seen John Hagee. Now, me and John standing side by side, I would be standing here, and he would be out here, right here. He's at least two times as thick as I am. Is that right? So anyway, so in other words, if somebody were to walk up right there with a gun and start to say, Pastor Scrivener, I'm going to kill you, which they did to John Hagee, said, Pastor Hagee, we're going to kill you, and this guy opens his coat back and reaches in and pulls out a 45 or whatever it is, 38 or whatever it was, he got six or eight bullets in it, and as the guy opens the coat, John Hagee steps out from behind the podium. He doesn't try to get behind this. He steps out in front and says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. No weapon. And that young man there started shooting. Bang, 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 bang. And he emptied that gun at this range between me and this young man here with a green shirt on. He emptied that gun and did not hit John Hagee, not one single time. Now then, there's only one explanation. God sent his angels and gave them charge because those angels, can you imagine a man at this range pulls a trigger and a bullet comes out, an angel sitting there and it goes off this way or goes off that way, empties the gun and couldn't hit him. So that tells us and confirms to us we have this protection. If we call on God, we have this protection. But you got to remember, you've got to call on him. Just like all those examples of finding things we just talked about, we had to pray with thanksgiving before it worked for any of that. God don't just show up as a bellhop. You know, he shows up to help you do whatever, but he's a good and awesome and merciful and awesome God, and he wants to help you. And this, as we've been talking a little bit about lately, the goodness of God. In other words, the goodness of God, and as we read on through 1 Corinthians and all these places, he is a good God, but he's a God of goodness, and he does great things. But right behind that word, the goodness of God, also says there is a severity of God. Now, what does that mean? Would that be awful? I don't want to see the severity of God, do you? I don't want him to get ticked off at me, you know, like we've seen some places in the Word where he's got ticked off with people. In fact, as the people left Israel, that little short trip over from Egypt to Israel was only supposed to be a few days' walk. A few days' walk, not flying, but a walk. And it took them 40 years because God, they wouldn't believe. And so God got really angry with them, and he showed them that they would never, ever enjoy his salvation because they wouldn't believe. Does God like people that believe? Amen. Yes, he does. He wants you to believe. Now then, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Start with verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. And let's see what it says.
And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God.
Okay, now let's stop and think. This fits me perfect. Some of you laugh. Because Bill Gothard, when I went down to Bill Gothard's place and spoke to make God's power, how many of you here listen to the teaching God's power?
Amen. Yes.
Okay, God done some wonderful things on that, didn't he?
Yes.
He done some wonderful things. So if you've never listened to that, you need to listen to it. But anyway, an hour and a half worth of teaching, and you get to hear all these stories about how God did things, because that's exactly what Bill wanted me to teach. He said, Thurman, I just want you to get out there on that platform and tell these people what scriptures you used and tell me the miracle that happened when you used a certain scripture. For an hour and a half, that's what I did. Now then, I'm not an English major. Dave is a whole lot more English major than me. You know, I don't know how that me and him both could be engineers and he could be so much more smarter on English than I am, but anyway, that's okay. Bill Gothard said that night that me and him were sitting there with four or five PhDs, you know, I mean, he said, Thurman, if I could just teach you how to talk, he said, there's no telling what we could get God to do. Well, let me tell you, obviously God likes the way I talk. I don't know because he never one time has he ever come to me and told me, said, son, you need to put this there, you need to say it like this. He just lets me talk. And guess who answers the prayers? God does. He answers all the prayers. So I don't have to worry about nothing. When I talk, God answers the prayer. Isn't that a wonderful place to live? It's a wonderful place to live, and he'll do the same thing for you. If you'll read that Psalm 91, just like Dave and I was talking this morning, I studied this book. So for those of you that want to walk in obedience to God's word and see him do miracles, I studied this book and prayed over this book and asked for revelation, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding in this book for 10 years, for 5 to 15 hours a week for 10 years. I ought to be a PhD by now, wouldn't you think? But it doesn't make any difference whether I'm a PhD or what I am. God answers my prayer. And that's where I love it. Don't you love for God to answer your prayer? Well, let me tell you, when you start, and I'd like to challenge each one of you to get started on hearing God's voice. When you just think about this. Some of you will be like Bill Gothard was to me. He said, Thurman, I've been in the ministry for 50 years, and I have never heard the authoritative voice of God. He said, how many times have you heard it? I said, at least 50. At least. He said, why in the world does God talk to you so much, you know, and he doesn't talk to me? I said, well, Bill, all I can say is maybe, just maybe, that when you talk, you speak so clear, he never has to ask you anything. But maybe God doesn't quite understand my English, so he has to listen to me several times over. I don't know. But whatever made it work, I love to hear his voice, don't you?
Yeah.
Let me ask this question. How many of you in this room have ever really, literally heard God speak to you? Wow, look at the number of hands. Many, 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 many of you have heard him. Don't you love it when he speaks to you? I love it when God speaks to me. Wow. All right, let's go on a little further here. Read the next verse.
For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified.
Now that's where you need to settle in on that right there. I don't know how many people in my life have come back to me and have told me when they come up to me and says, this man healed me. I said, no, ma'am, no, sir. This man didn't heal you at all. All he got to do was pray the prayer for you.
Yeah.
The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he healed you, right?
Yeah.
So I said, don't ever take the glory for anything.
Amen.
Learn right off that without him, you can't do nothing. With him and prayer and thanksgiving, there ain't nothing impossible. But you need to go in that order. You need to pray, you need to give him the glory, and you need to thank him for it every time, and then he will answer your prayer. And then be ready, be willing, be waiting to listen so that you will hear God's voice. He'll tell you, he'll speak to you in so many ways, it's unbelievable how many ways he'll speak to you. In fact, it's amazing the other day how God works. There's a man, which I'm not going to call his name because everybody in here would know him. He's very well-based TV network. And for some strange reason, I was going to call a friend of mine the other day, and I punched in the numbers for his first part of his name, and when I saw his first name come up, I thought it was him. I didn't realize it was this other man with his TV network. And so I punched the rest of the button and says, call. And when I said call, it did. And then whenever he come up and I says, is this so-and-so? He said, no, this is so-and-so. And I says, holy cow, I said, I got the wrong number. And then he, of course, then he knew who I was. He recognized my voice, and he said, Thurman? I said, I'm sorry, sir. I didn't mean to bother you. I said, this was totally an accident. He said, you and me both know that's not true. He said, God had a special reason for you to call me today. And he said, I'll tell you why. He said, I've been having trouble with my back. And I want you to pray for my back. So I prayed for his back, and he said, now is there anything I can pray for you for? I said, yes, you can pray for my eyes. He said, are you still flying? I says, no, sir. I said, my eyes are not good enough to fly anymore, but I said, they're going to be perfect because God's told me I'm going to have 20/10 vision. He said, okay, you prayed for my back that I'll be healed, so I'm going to pray for your eyes that on this day, and he told me, well, I forget what day it was, the 5th of September, I think. He said, your eyes are healed because I had just prayed for you and he prayed for me. He said, this was no accident. You know, you think things happen as an accident, but they don't. God was directing everything so that we would be able to pray one for another so we could both be healed.
Amen.
See, God has to have a man to help him out to do something. He can't do this without your help. Wow. We come to know nothing except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So always remember, with Him, nothing's impossible. And ask Him for whatever you want, and then praise Him and thank Him for your answer, and it will come. And be ready to hear His voice. So, but many of you in this room have heard His voice, and I'm so grateful that you've listened and you've heard His voice. Next verse, number 3.
And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling.
Okay, next verse.
And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power.
Oh, now don't you love that? You don't have to be a grade A English major. Me and you are really glad for that, are we? I am glad that all I've got to do is pray.
Amen.
He can understand any language. It doesn't matter how bad I mess it up. None whatsoever. None at all. He can understand what I'm wanting and everything, and then He can answer my prayer. But, you know, what I really love when He says, and He with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, when He puts those gifts on His people, and He does. Seek those gifts. I mean, tell Him you want those gifts. Say, Lord, I want you to put the gift of miracles on me. Or be ready. I mean, if you ask Him to put the gift of miracles on you, will He do it?
Yes,
yes He will. He wants. He's looking for somebody that believes. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. But with faith, that's what He wants. He wants you to be talking to Him, to tell Him things. And then He will speak back to you. He will tell you things. If you've, like me, if you've never experienced some of the things in the last 20, 30 years that I've had the privilege to experience with God, I can think of some of those things that are right here in this church that I've seen the Lord do for healing people. I love to tell the story about that 70-year-old lady that came from Lubbock, Amarillo. Okay, is that what I said?
No, you didn't say young. A
70-year-old
young lady.
Oh, okay. Okay, that 70-year-old young lady. This is what it's going to take to keep me out of trouble. Oh, goodness. Well, now, I will have to say, and I will have to say that for 70, she's not bad. She looks a whole lot younger than that. She really does. You'd never know Cheryl was 70. I mean, we've had...
I have 4 more days.
Yes. Yeah, 4 more days. Okay.
Enjoy it, be sure.
Yeah. But, It is amazing. Here, in fact, the other day, Cheryl was some lady, I forget who it was. She wasn't near as smooth as Cheryl, but Cheryl, she spent a lot of time and effort and money and everything else on her face and keeping herself beautiful. And like I've said a few times, there's not anything wrong with painting the old barn. It just makes it look a little better. So she's painted her barn pretty good. So oh goodness gracious. But I will have to say, that several places that we have been, whenever people would find out how old either me or Cheryl, especially her, find out how old she is, and how good she looks. Me, with my solid white hair, I look a little older anyway, but I'm not old. I still get around pretty good. I can do things, so I'm going to still be getting around good, in a long time from now. Because I'm standing on the promises, but I know that God can do great things. And whenever I think about how he demonstrates this with power, sometimes we go and pray for somebody. I don't remember who the lady was here a while back. I prayed something, and I fell down on my knees on the floor. This was about a year ago, I guess. I fell down on my knees, and as I got there, and then I looked up, and then I just pushed myself up and jumped up and stood back up. And the lady that was over here on the side, she looked in and she says, "How old did you say you were?" And I said, "Well, at that time I was 77, I guess, or something like that." I said, "I'm 77. She said, "You can't be 77 and get up." She said, "I'm only 60, and if I got down like that, it'd take two of y'all to get me up." Well, maybe it will. I don't know. But I know that so far I'm still able to get up. But did you know, God doesn't do the same thing with everybody. He's an awesome God. He's a mighty God. He's a God of power and authority. And he's going to do great things through you. But the more time you spend with him, the more you'll see him talk to you. And, of course, many of you that will, if you'll spend that time with him. I think of the times that I have prayed for hours to ask God. In other words, if I pray for a man and he doesn't get healed, I used to do this for a lot of people. But when you only got 20 or 30 people a week to work on is one thing. But when you got people, that write you and send you emails and text messages and everything else, and you got a long list every night, you just can't spend that kind of time with every one of you to say, why is this person sick? What's wrong with them? But I used to do that. Whenever sometimes if I only had one or two or three or four people all week long, maybe that would be the case. I would pray until I got an answer. And sometimes it would take an hour. Sometimes it'd take 8 hours. But if you stayed with it, very rarely would God not answer. Usually he would tell you. Every once in a while you'd run into one of these things that's the secret things belong to God, and Deuteronomy 18. So, and if the secret things belong to God, then it happens to be one of those things, and you can't get him to tell you. He just ain't going to tell you. So, but anyway, when he does do things, I love to see him do things with the Spirit's power. Just like this man, this woman, I started to say about this woman from Lubbock or Amarillo, wherever she is from. At the end of the healing school, after we'd prayed for everybody, I was sitting here in my chair, and this lady got up over there and walked up right there and come right here, and she says, "I want you to touch me in the name of Jesus." So I stood up and walked over here, and I said, "What's wrong with you?" And she said, "Well, I've got a problem with my arm. Said I can't pick it up but about this high. And said I got a big old tumor right up here in the top of my shoulder." So I reached up and put my hand on her shoulder, and there's a big old soft puffy tumor. She took her other finger and she put it right on my nose. I mean, some of you might have been here and seen that. She put her finger right there on my nose and she said, "But I know when you touch me in His name, He's going to heal me. I know it." I thought, man, this woman is like the woman with the issue of blood. She thought or knew in herself, if I can but touch the hem of His garment, I know I will be healed. I don't care how I talk. I don't care how I slaughter the English language or anything else. When I have the privilege to put that hand up on a 70-year-old woman's shoulder and say, "In the name of Jesus," and the shoulder, the tumor goes away completely, instantly, totally, I love that because I know that's a demonstration of the Spirit's power. That's certainly not me. That woman, her shoulder was healed, and instantly she threw her arm like this, right up like this, and her daughter standing right behind her, which was about 50 years old, she said, "Mama, you can't do that." I thought, now here's Mama had the faith to get it done before it happened. Now the daughter's seen it happen, and she still don't believe it. Isn't that amazing? But she said, I told you if you'd bring me down there and let Thurman touch me in the name of Jesus, I told you He'd heal me. And she did. And about a year later, we were out in New Mexico. We went out there, and the daughter and the husband wasn't here the day she got healed. But when we went to New Mexico, he was there with his wife, and they come up to me and said, "Mother said to tell you she still loves you." I said, "What's the deal?" I forget who people are. Yeah. And she said, you prayed for Mother with a tumor on her. I remember that. She said, "She's totally healed. Her arms, she can do anything she wants to do. Has no pain. She's totally healed." Said, "Mother said to tell you she'll love you forever." You want somebody to love you forever? Do something for Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, that when I think about that, I'm going to tell you this story, since this one kind of goes along with that. Cheryl and me and several of our people, well, every year we go to the fish fry out here to the fire department at Justin. Well, here about 5 years ago we went, and when we got there, again, there was a lady and a little 9-year-old boy, a Boy Scout. They walked up to the end of our table, and she looked down at me and said, "Mr. Scrivener, me and my family will love you forever." I said, "Well, ma'am, what did I do for you and your family?" She said, "You see my son here?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "When he was born, the doctors told us he would not live through the night." And she said, "I'd seen and heard the testimony of your granddaughter, how you called her back from the dead and Jesus healed her." I said, "Yes, ma'am." So she said, "We asked you," I heard that. So I asked my husband, said, "Honey, can I call this man and ask him to come down here to the hospital and pray over our baby?" And he said, "Sure, anything, because the doctors have already said it's over. He'll be dead by morning." When the doctors say your child will be dead by morning, you only got one hope, right? Jesus. So anyway, she called me and told me where they were, Cook's Medical Center in Fort Worth. So I got in my pickup and drove down there. She said, "You come in, you talk to us, and talk to us about Jesus. He told us, give us some instructions, what we needed to do." My husband said he would do it. So you reached over and laid hands on our baby, this boy, and said, "Be healed in the name of Jesus." And she said, "This is that boy." Said, "The boy that wasn't going to live through the night. Here he is, 9 years old, and there wasn't a thing wrong with that boy." I don't care what my speech is like. I don't care, like Paul says, I don't care whether I speak clear. I don't care what, as long as Jesus can understand it. And then he can show up with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. You don't need nothing more than that, do you, Scott? No, when you got that. So this is what we need. We need a demonstration of the Spirit's power. We need to stop trying to be somebody, to be something we're not. Just realize you are a son or a daughter of God, and just do what he says. Walk holy, lay hands on somebody. And somebody was here the other day, and they said, "We never see anybody fall down whenever you pray for them." I said, "No, I don't. In fact," I said, "if anybody even looks like they're woozy, I'll hold on to them because I don't want to draw any attention to nothing but Jesus." All right. I said, "The Word, he sent the Word and healed you." So I said, and the one thing I've learned in all these years of all the people I prayed for, and I prayed for a lot, and I've seen him heal a lot, and I've seen some mighty awesome miracles, I have never seen him push anybody down in one of my meetings. Nobody. Nobody ever gets hurt, nothing. They just come up, I pray for them, and they walk out. And some of them get to the car, some of them it takes next week, but some of them call back, just like this young boy the other day. It's amazing. He walked up here and he said, I said, what can I pray for you for, son? He said, Pastor, I need a job. He said, I have not been able to find a job nowhere. He said, I've got to have a job. I said, well, son, let's pray. You come to the right place. Jesus, does Jesus show up here?
Yeah.
Yes, he does. So we said, Father, and Cheryl and I said, Father, in Jesus' name, this young man needs a good job. We ask you to give him one. And he said he's really in dire need. So, Lord, give him one quickly. Thank you, Lord, for giving him a job quickly. And so we started praying. He walks out. I said, now then, son, go get your pickup and start praising the Lord for your new job. He said, well, I don't have it yet. I said, you do. It's already done. We prayed. It's done. Jesus always says yes and amen. I said, just start praising him and thanking him. So he walks out here and he says, you know, just start praising the Lord. I said, yes. Get in your truck. I said, Lord, thank you for my good job. Just a few minutes later, my cell phone rang. And this kid, he said, Mr. Scrivener, I got down to this little Paradise store down here on 35. And he said, my phone rang. And a guy told me to come to work at 8 o'clock in the morning. Now, what can God do?
Everything.
Now, there you go. Anything you can believe him for.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing. Now, if you don't believe, what if the young boy hadn't never said thank you? What if he'd have just walked down and said, okay, when I prayed for him, he said, oh, okay, I hope this works.
No.
Now, he would have never got a job, would he, Miss Jackie?
No.
But when he goes out there saying, Lord, thank you for my new job. Thank you for my good job. I've got a job. Thank you for giving me the money I need to pay my apartment bill and buy gas for my truck and all the stuff. Thank you. Then you see him get to do some good things. Wow. What a God we serve. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. If you step over into that realm, let me tell you, that's the most exciting place you can go.
Yeah.
I mean, everything else is going to be dead meat whenever after you've walked in the demonstration of the Spirit's power. In fact, the other day, somebody told me, said, man, I listened to God's power and said, that's the most uplifting teaching I have ever heard of in my life. Said, I've listened to it probably 10, 15 times. I thought, wow, if it's that good, maybe I ought to listen to it. So anyway, I got a copy of it and put it in my truck, and I started listening to it. And as I listened to that thing, I thought, you know, this is not very good. And it's just like the Lord laid on my heart. You know, that's back in the old days, son. That's when you didn't have very much faith. The reason that seems like old stuff now is because the new stuff I'm doing for you is much more powerful. That's what I like. I like to see him. I like to see a demonstration of the Spirit's power. I like to see the real powerful stuff. Raising from the dead. Cleansing the lepers. Laying your hands on somebody and praying for them. And like praying for little Jenna out there. If you've never seen Jenna's picture out there, look at it when you go away. We prayed for that little girl for a year and a half with no results. Then we finally went to the Lord. And it took us a long time, but we finally did it. Went to the Lord and asked the Lord, what caused this little girl to be sick? And the Lord showed us. He told the mothers her lying and deception to her husband. Any of you women ever lied to your husband? Don't answer it. You know you have. It's just like one day Cheryl come out there to me and says, honey, have you eaten today? And I says, no. In just a little while, I had to go tell her. I said, honey, I'm sorry. I lied to you. She said, what do you mean? I said, you asked me, have I eaten today? And I says, no. And I said, I did. So when you walked off of me, the Spirit spoke to me and said, son, you just lied to your wife. I said, Lord, I didn't lie to Cheryl. He said, yes, you did. She asked you, have you eaten today? And you said, no. And he said, you had a bowl of cereal this morning. I said, holy cow, that's true. That's true. How does he know everything? You can't hide nothing from him, you know, so you might as well give it up. But see how important it is? God doesn't hear the prayer of a liar. If you're a liar, he don't answer your prayer. So he knew that there was going to be somebody come by here that needed a prayer answered. And under the condition, when Cheryl says, "Honey, have you eaten today?" I should have said, "Yes, I had a bowl of cereal this morning, but it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Now I'm hungry and ready to eat again." Is that right, Mike? Yeah, but I didn't do it like that. I just said, "No, I haven't eaten." But I hadn't eaten because I hadn't eaten lunch on. So anyway, I just said, "Lord, I'm sorry. I repent." Now you'd think it's not really that important. But you know, just like Cheryl said a while ago, I don't know if any of y'all picked up on that when she's talking about, and I was very proud of all of y'all, because whenever she said she got all those little cars and didn't have to pay for them, nobody said, "Well, praise the Lord." No, nobody. So that means we ain't got no thieves in here. You see where I'm coming from? If all of y'all had jumped up and said, "Oh, praise God, she got those for free, didn't have to pay for them," I'd have said, "Oh my gosh, I'm not doing a very good job teaching these people the kingdom." Because God, you know, if you're a liar or a thief, no liar or no thief shall inherit eternal life. Now, ain't that sad? So if I'm teaching you something like that, then whenever you said she went back and she paid for those and had got them for like $7 or $8 a piece, that's when everybody praised the Lord. Yeah. And she didn't, there was $40 and $50 deals. She got them for what, $5, $6, $7, whatever it was. And isn't that amazing? But you know, that's okay. That's when you said she went back and got that great, fantastic price, and it was not only that was there 70 or 80, there was 149,
and I had all that manpower with me.
140. Oh yeah, I didn't tell you all this. She comes to me and says, I got to go shopping." I said, "Do you want to go?" I says, "No." She said, "I only need somebody to help me load these bags into the back of my car." I said, "Okay, I can do that part. I'll go with you, and I'll load the cart from your car, from that cart into the Suburban. I'll go with you, and I'll do that." Okay. So we go over there, and here's this big, giant cart. Okay, I don't have a problem with that. Don't make it for me how big it is.
You can get a job at Kohl's, man.
Yeah, that's right. I can get a job at Kohl's. So anyway, I'm gonna load this thing up and everything. And then she says, "Oh, honey, there's just these Nike things are on sale today." And I said, "What does that mean?" She says, "Well, my Kohl's cash is good, you know, like only today or this week. And so I need to shop and buy these little Nike shoes because they're going to be about a third of the price, you know." So I said, Do you mind if we go around and shop a little bit?" I said, "Okay, so it won't take long, right?" No, it won't take long. So I go get 4 or 6 or whatever carts, 2 at a time, and we push those things around, and we load those things up with shoes and take them over and go get 2 more and load them up, and we walk all over that store, and we buy every Nike shoe they got. I ain't never been shopping in my life where I bought that many shoes. Never. But boy, did she get them. And did she get a good price?
$4. Yes.
$4 something a piece.
Yep.
Wow.
A demonstration of the Spirit's power.
Yeah, that's what that was, I guarantee you. A demonstration of the Spirit's power. Read that verse 4 one more time for me.
"And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power."
Amen. Praise the Lord. Is that the way we like it?
Yes.
When we have a demonstration of the Spirit's power, he shows up and people get healed and miracles happen. And I mean, just everything you can imagine takes place. Yep. Let's go to verse 5 and let's see here. We're going to quit here pretty quick.
"That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God."
You know, if you're going to try to stand with your faith in the power of man, and so many people try to do that, I want to show you something. Why so many people that come out here or anywhere else that they come for healing, and then they go away and they don't get healed? When you ask them, "What did you do after you were prayed for?" They say, "Well, I went to the doctor. I had done a few chemo treatments. or I did a few radiation treatments, or I did this or I did that. Let me show you what God says, and if I could get people to believe this and do this, we'd get a whole lot more people healed. James chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. Now, I want everybody to turn there. You're going to put that on the board. James 1, 6 and 7. Cheryl's going to read that for us.
But let him ask in faith.
Wait a minute. Let him ask what?
In faith.
What's the difference between asking in faith for man and faith for God? You're going to get it done if you ask it from God. If you go to the doctor, I mean, you may or may not get any kind of healing at all from a doctor.
Yeah.
You may not, but God, if you'll do it His way. Now read that one more time, honey.
But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed.
In the next verse.
For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord.
Now then, if you come out here and get prayed for, and then after we pray for you, do you believe that the God that we pray to can fix your problem?
Yes.
Just like finding those keys for that lady back there. Did God show her where the keys were?
Yes.
I mean, think of the things that's happened. We have seen God do so many awesome things. He can do things beyond your wildest dreams. But when you pray, you must believe with how much doubt?
No.
Okay, if you come out here and you get prayed for, and we pray for you, lay hands on you, or do whatever you want us to do, and we pray for you, at that point, you've got to believe that God is going to heal you. What if you don't? If you don't believe He's going to heal you, what's He going to do for you? He says He ain't going to do nothing for you. So next month, you're going to be calling us again and said, I need to come back by and let you lay hands on me again. It didn't work. You see why we put our faith in man and not in God? Because if you put your faith in God, once you're prayed for, it's a done deal. Isn't that true?
Yeah.
You don't need nobody else, just God. And if you believe Him, He will fix you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank You for this precious, beautiful, gorgeous day that You have made. I thank You for the miracles that You've done. I thank You for all these healings and finding keys and everything, all the answers, selling property. Lord, You can do things beyond our wildest dreams. And You make it look so easy because You're God. All we got to do is ask in faith, thanking You, and You'll do it. So, Lord, we thank You and praise You that You're our King, our Lord. Now, Lord, this week, prompt us, help us to ask so we'll get the answers to our prayers. And, Lord, I want to thank You for doing a supernatural healing on Sharon, one of our prayer warriors. Sharon had got a little ding on her car, and it made her hurt. And I told her she needed to get in there in faith, and I thank the Lord because He told her that she needed to believe in faith and stop going around that mountain. So Sharon went to the Lord last night and said, I believe You this time. And this morning she woke up totally healed. So, Lord, I thank You and praise You for healing Sharon. Lord, you have no favorites. Sharon's not even your favorite. Cheryl, even though she thinks she's your favorite, I know you're not. She's not your favorite, but You do love her. I know that, Lord. Yeah, so praise the Lord. Lord, we thank You for all the things You do. And I thank You for all these special deals You're giving Cheryl to buy stuff for these kids and these families that are needing it. So, Lord, You're an awesome God, and we praise You and thank You for everything. And, Lord, as we go this week, use us mightily to do great things for Your kingdom. Show us where to get money and to receive. Lord, You know where the money's at. You just send it to her. I know last year Cheryl prayed for money, and the day she prayed, somebody sent her $7,500. Lord, so you can do anything. Lord, just meet the needs of everybody. And we thank You and praise You for it. Thank You for being our God and prompt us to be about Your business and do great things for Your kingdom. And Lord, inspire us to be telling people about the grace of God and the kingdom of God and Your power so that everybody will come to know Jesus like we know Jesus. Lord, thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.